Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yeah, he hits this ball hard. Out to right center field. That's trouble. It's gone. Boy, he just lined one out of here. 22nd of the year for Alvarez. And he makes it 2-0, Houston. Goodness me.
Goodness me indeed, because the Houston Astros, for the 8th straight year, possess the coveted Silver Boots! They get it with a win over the South Oklahoma Arlington Rangers yesterday. 6-3, the final score, I believe 6-4, whatever. They had a 5-0 lead at one point. They hold on for the victory, and everything is right in the world once again, Joe George.
Yeah, as long as, you know, Silver Boots stays home, that's what matters right now. Yordan Alvarez, goodness me, what a way to end a call. Just, he's so sad, such a sad man.
I feel bad about this because I believe that Dave Raymond lived here in Houston for a while calling Astros games. But over the last couple of years, when I discovered that my Fubo TV subscription includes the calls of Texas Rangers broadcasts, there is a very, very small part of my brain that lives to hear Dave Raymond be miserable when the Astros do something to the Rangers.
So I guess something, if like bases are loaded, you're flipping over? So you can hear the sadness?
If the game gets out of hand, no offense to Todd Callis, Syracuse guy, Jeff Blum, close personal friend, Julia Morales, we've interacted before, I flip it over to watch the Rangers broadcast because it tends to get a little bit whiny.
Yeah, it's very sad boy.
Yeah.
It's not soft boy, it's just sad boy.
Goodness me.
I think we should start using goodness me more often. Just start working that into the show.
Dios mío.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Just I'll give a bad take, and you just go, goodness me.
Goodness me is a very white way to say, oh my.
Yes, it's a very, very white way to say it. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know what? They won the game yesterday. Yordan Alvarez, 2 games in a row with a home run. That thing was a line drive.
Right, yeah, out of the park. I didn't think that was going to leave. That was a laser. And that's the deepest part of the ballpark. The low trajectory with which Alvarez hit that bad boy. Truly impressive to make it leave the yard. So, the Astros are now back in first place by more than just percentage points. Now by a full half game, which doesn't make any sense, but it's more than .001. So now, we take a look at what happened yesterday. And once again, it was Yusei Kikuchi with a almost quality start, not quite 6 innings, 8 punch-outs, or as Joe Espada calls them, punchies along the way. Here he is wrapping up a strikeout of the side in the 4th inning.
Got him. Caratini with another fist pump after an inning-ending strikeout. Simeon struck out to end the 3rd, and now Kikuchi with 3 more strikeouts in the 4th.
No one liked the Yusei Kikuchi trade when it first happened. Giving up 3 prospects for a rental was our biggest issue. People fell in love with Joey Loperfido. It was a summer fling the first couple of months of his major league career. Jake Blas, I mean, he only was drafted last year. Maybe he has potential past what we saw from him at the major league level. if he's already pitching less than a year into his professional career. And then you got rid of Will Wagner. To be honest, no one really cared about that one. Sorry, Will. We, in the moment, I would say collectively, people who follow the Houston Astros freaked out. About 16 to 24 hours later, I think we were all a little bit more measured, for the most part. And now we're seeing, Joe, people start to change their tune, whether it's Ben Verlander, who had a strong reaction to the trade in the moment and is a national baseball analyst. Maybe not a great sign for baseball analysis that the little brother of a good major leaguer is a great major leaguer, a Hall of Fame major leaguer, one of the best pitchers of his era, is a go-to source of analysis. Some are doing victory laps. I saw our friend Charlie Polillo for the Sports Map, which is in our building, essentially saying that Joey Loperfido is not Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
In as many words. All of a sudden, are we all okay with the Yusei Kikuchi trade, which for now is a rental?
I think you have to be you have to be more okay with it. You don't have to be fully on board still. You can have your reservations about trading the prospects, but still at the same time be very, very happy with the results that you've gotten. Because it's still just two starts. You know, if we just assumed everything was the way it was after two starts, then Ronald Blanco would have won the Cy Young this year. Hunter Brown would have been cut last year at some point. Like, things can go good and bad. But this trade has worked out really well for you so far. Yusei Kikuchi has been awesome. The way that they've changed his delivery, and not his delivery, but what his pitch usage, has clearly helped him tremendously. And the reason, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with flipping on it when everyone, like you said, had the negative reaction.
Any moment, everyone was mad.
You look at The Athletic or ESPN.com, every single trade deadline grade reaction was C-, D, just a normal C for this trade. It was not well received across locally, nationally, anywhere.
There were a few measured people. I'll give credit to Todd the Show on our Twitch, but for the most part, the reaction ranged from, what the hell? Huh? All that for a rental with an ERA close to 5 to, what are they doing? Dana Brown sucks. Fire him. It was that kind of range. And, I mean, through two starts, no quality starts yet, but he's getting close to 6 innings, which is much more than Jake Bloss was giving you. And he's also, along the way, giving you 19 strikeouts.
And he's been really impressive. Like, it's not even just the strikeouts. He's just finding a way to just get outs in a bunch of different manners, whether it's, and the strikeouts has obviously led the way for him. It just, he looks like a different player. And part of it is like, I always reference back to what they shoved down our throat for 2 years, which is back of the baseball card. It wasn't just the high ERA that he had in 2024. It's what he's done for most of his career. He's a 4 to 5+ ERA guy. His only season so far where he's at a below 4 ERA is in 2023 for an entire season. Trading for a guy like that when your pitching staff is struggling is not going to come with like a parade of happiness for your organization. There's always going to be a sense of pessimism when you trade for a guy who's consistently below average. And that's what he has been in his career. In two starts here, maybe Miller and Murphy in the analytics department like really have fixed this guy. We'll see. You hope
Miller and Murphy, first names for everybody.
Josh Murphy and I don't know.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry.
They're both the two pitching coaches.
This is something this time slot has an issue with. Not specifically you. I know whenever we have DJ on, DJ will just say guys by the first name, and I'm like, hey, I don't know who that is. So
the two pitching coaches.
The two pitching coaches. Yes. There we go. Okay, cool.
But if they fixed him, awesome. If he's this guy, you are in a whole different atmosphere of starting pitching if he can be this guy. I don't care about quality starts. He threw 100 pitches. He struck out 8 guys. He gives you 5 1/3. Your bullpen should be good enough consistently, specifically the back end of it with Presley, Abreu, and Hader, to where you can, you know, and Taylor Scott, to where that's fine. If he's giving you 5 1/3, you should be able to get it done on a pretty consistent basis.
I'll admit I'm still skeptical.
Same.
he has had two great starts, but the Rangers offense this year, it's not the same. I don't know what happened. And the Tampa Bay Rays, they have stripped a lot of parts. Kikuchi's next scheduled start, get this, ideal for him, is against the Tampa Bay Rays August 13th. I don't know if Justin Verlander is going to be back, so this will change the math, but if you take a look ahead at the schedule and just assume, okay, five starts from that. It's Monday, August 19th against the Boston Red Sox, who are having a very good season. The Red Astros are going to play them in Boston this weekend. I mean, compared to the expectations, no one thought Boston would do a damn thing. They're actually a pretty good hitting team. And then, either you fast forward five starts or four starts, depending on whether or not the Astros go to a six-man rotation, the next outing for Kikuchi is going to be against the Baltimore Orioles. I feel like we can all maybe properly evaluate what this trade was, if it was too much, if Kikuchi's actually going to contribute, after what happens in those two starts. Against Boston, against Baltimore. And I truly do not know what happens in them. There's an off chance as well that if the Astros stick to the five-man rotation, that we could see him Monday, August 19th against the Red Sox. We could see him Saturday, August 24th against the Orioles. And then Wednesday, August 28th, against the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Then we will really know what he is. But yeah. It depends on whether or not the Astros go to a six-man rotation. There's a part of me that hopes that they don't go to a six-man rotation just so that I can really know for sure. Three-game sample size against three teams that are good, that have good offenses. Then we will know whether or not Yusei Kikuchi has it. Because that was always my issue with him when he was in Seattle. It wasn't that he could put together amazing stretches. It's how did he do against good teams? What happened when he gets red ass on himself after giving up a couple of big hits?
Yeah, and even if past that, Paul, like even if he is successful in those starts, I think a lot of this trade still just it matters what happens when you make the playoffs. Like this is not a team that has regular season just win the division expectations. No matter how the season has gone, no matter how much the offense has struggled, no matter how many pitching injuries you've had, you're the Houston Astros. Your expectations, our expectations, everyone in baseball's expectations is that you're going to go back to an ALCS for an eighth straight year. That's what the standard is for the organization.
It's the standard. I don't know if it's still the expectation, but it is the standard.
So like, well, what does he do in the ALDS? What does he do if they get to the ALCS?
They gotta get there.
Like that to me is more. We'll tell the bigger picture of the story. I think a lot of it just goes back to. You gave up three prospects for a guy who's not under control, who doesn't have great stats. If he's this guy, this is a home run of a trade. Honestly, if you make the playoffs, because of the way the season has gone, it helps you even more. And if he's a big part of that, and right now he is. Like, where are you without him right now? Your offense is struggling mightily, and in the two games, he's been absolutely dominant. And if it's Jake Bloss on the mound instead of Yusei Kikuchi, you've lost those two games. And instead of being in first place today, you're probably a game and a half out of first right now still.
He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. The HRNP listener line. You can also join us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio. Sean Mapes is behind the glass at Sean A. Mapes. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv at ESPN 975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Coming up next, how did the Astros get in first place in the AL West? You'll hear how it happened, and oh man, the AL West really, it sucks. We'll discuss why. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Fly ball, towering fly ball to center. How much is on it at the wall? Oh my goodness, Meadows with a potential game-saving catch for the Tigers.
That helped preserve a 3-2 Detroit lead heading into the ninth inning. The Tigers added three runs in the ninth, and they took down Seattle 6-2. That combined with the Astros 6-4 win over the Rangers yesterday to clinch the Silver Boot puts the Astros in first in the American League West again by half a game. Interesting game. Detroit had 13 hits on Seattle. They had 7 hits on George Kirby. Kirby, for those who don't know, seems to own the Astros in 3 starts against them this year, a 1.5 ERA, 17 strikeouts. Maybe A.J. Hinch can pass over some pointers on how to properly get hits off the man.
That's sick. That catch was sick.
It was incredible.
Austin Meadows went up and got that thing.
I don't know how he got that thing either. I mean, that truly was one of those leaps where he jumped as high as he possibly could to get it. It wasn't one of those ones where, all right, it's coming down, and he didn't necessarily need to jump, and maybe hams it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that fielders do that. I mean, basically, you're looking up at the ball. You kind of have to just judge for yourself. Hey, where am I? Hopefully, yeah. I don't run face first into the wall like that left fielder for the Rangers did yesterday when our guy DiCenzo hit his first major league double.
Yeah, that was a tough play for that guy yesterday.
It hurt my face just seeing it.
The Rangers once again, some poor defense helped you out a little bit yesterday's game. Wyatt Langford, that play in center field where it just dropped in front of him because he didn't run for the baseball. Mm. But that was an impressive catch from Austin Meadows, and the Tigers they're helping you out. Like, for the Astros to win this division, you know, because the way the schedule has changed and you play your divisional opponents way less, they only have 3 games left versus the Mariners this season, you know, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September. So you're going to need a lot of help to, you know, separate yourself from the Mariners this year because you just can't do it yourself like in the past.
I'm going to ask both you, Joe, and Sean, how many games out of first place the Astros would be in these divisions that aren't the American League West. You just have to guess.
Okay.
The AL West, is hot garbage. We all have to admit it. It's the worst division in baseball this year. Part of that is due to the Mariners who keep blowing it. Part of that is due to the Rangers, who are one of the more underwhelming defending World Series champions I can remember, especially given how much they are paying for that team. But let's be honest, the Astros, this has been a massive disappointment of a year by our very lofty standards. Back in first place in the AL West. How many games out of first would they be in the National League Central?
5?
I was going to go 5.5.
Ooh, Sean gets it with 5.5 exactly.
I was thinking 5.5 before you said 5. Mm-hmm. But I also would have done that to Price is Right.
Well, you get to go first now on that. Okay.
How do Price is Right rules work? If you go over, you bust?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. All right. The National League West. How many games out of first place would the Houston Astros be in that division?
I'm going to go with a full, healthy 6 games.
Okay. Joe?
8.
Sean again. Oh. Joe busts.
I thought the Dodgers had a better record than that.
6.5 the National League West leader would have on the Houston Astros. All right. How about the American League Central, the division we all used to make fun of all the time? Joe, you're first. How many games out of first place would the Astros be in the AL Central?
3.5.
I know the Guardians are really good, so I'm gonna say 8.5.
Ooh, Sean busts. It is 8, though.
I suck at this game, guys.
I was gonna say like 10. And then I was like, wait, I don't want to go over.
How'd you get 3, Joe?
I knew they were better, but like, I guess I just have such a negative view of the AL Central that I figured
it's totally fair.
I figured they were like it's better totally than the fair. Astros, but not that much better than the Astros this year.
The White Sox don't bring the first place team down by that much. By the way, the White Sox fired their manager a day after he broke the 21-game losing streak. What the hell?
I like this strategy. They didn't want to have to make the interim manager answer for the 20-game losing streak, so they waited till he broke the streak and then fired him. So now Grady Sizemore, the new manager of the White Sox, didn't have to answer questions about it.
Who was the last manager?
Pedro Grifol.
Mm.
Grifol guy.
He sure Grifol'd out of a job.
Those are both good. I give them like 6 out of 10s.
Grifold into last place, yeah. All right, Grady Sizemore. That makes me feel a little bit old. I feel like he was playing 3 years ago.
I know.
Could be wrong on that one. Okay, we've got a couple more divisions left. Just 2 more.
Okay.
Who went first last time?
Joe did.
I did.
Okay, cool. We have great memories here. It's riveting. Maybe we all need a little Adderall. Anyway, American League East. How many games out of first place would the Astros be in that division?
I think this is a big number.
I think it's going to be like 7.
Okay, Sean says 7. Joe?
Well, they're better than the Guardians. It's 8, so I'm going to go 9.
Ooh, Joe busts again. But you were close. 8.5.
Oh.
The American League East, I thought, would have many more games on the Astros than 8.5.
Yeah.
Got to be honest. That's the AL East bias.
The Orioles and the Yankees have not been playing. They had like a down stretch recently.
Yeah, the Yankees play like garbage for like 3 straight weeks.
Yeah.
All right, one last division. National League East. How many games out of first place would the Houston Astros be if they were in that division?
Is it me first?
I think it's me first. Okay. I'm gonna go 5.5.
5.5. Okay, Sean, what do you say?
That's a good guess. That's a good one. I'll go 6.
9. Sean wins. Damn.
I didn't win it. I guess got shut up.
Joe, you got killed.
No, I bust on one.
I said 3. We didn't.
He wasn't really that close.
We didn't say we were doing prices right.
I was a half game off. You're like,
I was like 5.5.
You're very thankful for the existence of the American League West in 2024.
Yes.
I mean, it is a bum ass division. And listen, you can only play the schedule that you've got. And if you want to try to do a little spin job on the Astros this year, they're only playing 13 games against AL West teams this year as opposed to 18 in the past. But this division blows. It is terrible. And thank God. Like, that's all you can really say. Like, they're hanging around. Great. That's all they need to do. They just got to get into the playoffs. Once the playoffs begin, you can see a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks go on to the World Series. But this is a rank, stank division.
Yeah, I mean, even like if you had hopes of catching, you know, a wild card team, I think you're 4 games back right now, the Kansas City Royals, I believe. Yeah, 4 games back of the Royals, the last wild card spot. So even though you play them coming up, like, if that's an important series. Like, so is the Boston series, because if you win those, even if you happen to falter in the AL West, if you take 2 out of 3 versus the Red Sox, you take 2 out of 3 versus the Royals, or 3 out of 4 when you play the Royals at the end of August, you can at least help yourself to try to make the wild card and give yourself a little bit of cushion here and on down the final stretch. But it really feels like it's win the terrible AL West this year or bust.
Yeah, I agree. I don't play for the wild card. You're not going to win that.
All 3 of these teams are so lucky that not a single one of the other 2 have lived up to expectations, because they've all, like, so far, all these teams have fallen short of
great
expectations.
Point. Yeah, they've
now,
all.
Astros have the longer track record of meeting those expectations, but, I mean, if you ask Mariners fans, they if you give them what the Texas Rangers and what the Astros records are, they'll be like, oh, whoa, we got to be 5 games up in this
exactly.
division.
They would think that because they were 10 games up at one point, they might be 15 at this point. I mean, right now, the Angels are closer to catching the Rangers in the standings than the Rangers are to catching the Astros. The Angels are 3.5 games behind the Rangers in the division right now. Wow. The Rangers could go from World Series to 4th place
in a
terrible division within a week.
That is actually very surprising. You do assume that all 3 of these teams are like way ahead of the Angels, because is Mike Trout injured? Yeah, duh. Yeah. Who else is on their team? You don't know. they're still hanging around. The A's aren't even that far off, to be honest.
Bill O'Brien's like, this is a weak ass division.
No, it doesn't matter, Sean. AL West champs.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do to get
Doesn't
that.
Matter, Sean. Silver boot champs.
Silver boot
champs.
8 times.
8 in a row. That's true. He said, didn't he say a couple years in a row for the AFC South
champ? He said he gets a back-to-back champs. Back-to-back champs, Ryan.
Back-to-back.
It's 4-team division. Anyway, it is Gallant and George. He's Joe George. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. If you want to weigh in on whether you trust Yusei Kikuchi, now, you did have a couple of texts in the last segment. One person says, the greatest thing is, if he poops the bed the next outing, the narrative goes back to bad trade. On this show, we're the bipolar baseball show.
Oh, we're not the only ones, but yes.
Another text from the 409, the initial sting is gone and it may work out great, but they should have got him for less. Yeah, we agree. All right, coming up next, one of the most important football minds in the history of the sport is all over the Houston Texans. And hanging out with them, too. Deep Steel Blue Pill time. Let's hit it.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Round one of our 2024 Rock the Mic competition is underway. You get to pick which 10 podcasts who have sent in submissions to at ESPN Houston on YouTube, advance to the second round. So go to that ESPN Houston YouTube channel, like and subscribe along the way, and then find the Rock the Mic playlist to see all the entries. You can like your favorite entries to show us who you think is the best. While you're there, again, subscribe! YouTube is the future. So this is above my pay grade.
Okay.
I choose to recuse myself from watching, but middle management Joe here, yes, hard at work for this Rock the Mic competition.
Yeah.
Who is leading the pack? In your opinion.
Okay, so.
Esteemed opinion.
All right, so there's one called Houston Sports State of the Union.
Okay.
They're going to auto-advance to the second round.
Auto-advance? What?
Because they had the most views.
Oh, okay.
On their podcast. The top two with the most views and likes auto-advances to the next round. See, Michael Schwab, his is pretty good. See who else here.
Who's the most like me? Because that's really what matters.
Do I want one like you?
No. I'm about to explain why. I'm about to explain this. Who's the most like me?
Should I make him upset? I'm going to say the Texas out of Texas.
He's disqualified. We're not even going to let you finish his name. He is disqualified.
Intern Ryan.
There's only... Oh, Intern Ryan?
He's no longer an intern.
Intern Ryan. I am most like Intern Ryan. Where I'm at... Okay. Well,
I didn't mean that.
I don't want to throw an intern under the bus. No, I didn't mean it. The guy who's asking how to spell people's names when Google exists. I love Intern Ryan. He's got a lot of flair to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going off to Mizzou, so we'll see how he does.
But there's a bunch in there. We got to end up with 20 entries. So
okay. I
was pleasantly surprised because we had five on the Monday before they were all due. So everyone was like, it was like a high school paper.
Procrastination.
We got 15 in the last 3 days. I made me a little nervous.
I like that.
I like it.
I like the last 15. I don't know who were the last 15 to enter, but I like their attitude.
But you're just like, hey, like, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be early. Just keep by the deadline.
Just boom, right under the water.
Yeah, but there's some good ones in here. Actually, I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay, I like that. I also like the preeminent football mind in all of the United States of America, Kay Adams of the Up and Adams Show. You might remember her from Good Morning Football. And guess what? She was out at Houston Texans training camp in Ohio this week. And if Kay Adams is recognizing real, if she's calling D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio iconic, you got to listen. So let's get it up, guys. Texans hype, it's back. It's time for Deep Steel Blue Pill.
It takes 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big Deep Steel Blue Pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this Deep Steel Blue Pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans Swarm!
Sean was so excited he cut you off.
I know.
His Deep Steel Blue Pill was so
just
ready.
Couldn't wait to pop that
blue pill. Couldn't even wait for you to finish.
It was premature.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he was just telling me to get to that effing point. And understandably so. I was building it up.
I was so excited.
How can you not be excited when Kay Adams is talking about our beloved Houston Texans and speaking with our beloved Houston Texans? Here she is asking D'Amico Ryans about a J.J. Watt comeback?
Is there room for J.J. Watt on this team? TJ kept the door open.
Yeah.
Caserio kept the door open.
Right.
Now you better close the door, coach. You got the opportunity right here.
J.J. knows. Anytime he's ready, I'm ready.
What does that mean?
If he's ready. J.J.'s been out now for, 2 years? When you stop playing football for 2 years, it's... It's hard to come back.
So you're saying that knowing it's an open invitation, but he's probably not going to take it.
It's always open for JJ. I'm never closing that door.
We're leaving the door open. Appreciate the time, Coach.
Okay.
I can't believe we're still doing this, but
I'm cool with it.
I am too.
Look how ripped he looks.
Well, part of me still thinks he's actually coming back. Like, I can't, because they won't close the door.
I feel like if it were going to happen before the season, with Danico Autry getting suspended, it would have happened by now. The idea that it'll happen in the middle of the season, I have a hard time buying into that, barring some sort of catastrophic injuries to the Houston Texans defensively. They would also have to be, I would imagine, close to contention for Watt to want to come back, right? Like, he's not going to come back if things hit the fan, and you would think that things would hit the fan if enough injuries happen. So I think it's very unlikely, but I do want it to happen, and I think every Houston Texan fan wants it to happen, too.
I think D'Amico Ryans wants it to happen. Hearing him talk about it, where she goes, like, what was it where... she says, like, you can just shut it down right now. And he goes, not going to shut it down. But he doesn't think he's ready. If he's ready, I'm ready. Like, that's basically what he was saying. If J.J. Watt called him and was like, I want to be on the Texans, D'Amico Ryans would be like, welcome back. And I appreciate that.
Maybe he doesn't want to play football on Christmas. Like, maybe that's what's, like, really holding this up, that, like, he wants to be a good dad and good husband and doesn't want to miss, you know, be away from his family on Christmas. So J.J. Watt's going to come back week 18, January 5th, versus the Tennessee Titans, when they wear the Oilers uniforms the last game of the season.
If he comes back and they put him on the PUP list, then that would give him a six-week ramp-up period. And theoretically, that ramp-up period could conclude right after the Houston Texans finish their third game in 10 days. That's how I would time it. I would not want to play three games in 10 days after being out of the league for 2 years.
Or do a load management on one of the games where it's like Kawhi on a back-to-back where it's like he's not playing this game.
Okay, let's say he comes back. Do you guys expect him to be on the field for more than just third and 10?
No.
Like, that's what it is, right? Like,
Derek Barnett from last year. Yeah, Jerry Hughes.
Yeah, he's Derek Barnett. He is.
But a very cool Derek Barnett.
Yes.
Yes.
No offense to Derek Barnett, who is cool in his own way, but he's not J.J. Watt, Houston royalty.
A lot more cool Instagram photos from J.J. Watt being back on the Texans. And the new uniforms, too.
Oh, yeah. Yo, we're going to be swarming so hard.
Cal McNair wants him to come back.
Cal McNair definitely wants him to come back. Because
sell
even
some
though
of those HM blue.
I'm sure they're selling J.J. Watt. I think it's that's one thing, okay, teams do that I think is really bizarre. Like, at some point, I'm sure you'll be able to buy an H-Town Blue Andre Johnson jersey. I think that's super strange because he never wore that jersey, but they're going to do it. But if J.J. Watt plays, those jerseys are going to fly off the shelves.
I'm going to get one of those red ones.
Ooh.
J.J. Watt red one?
Yeah.
Pull on parade, dude, with the horns. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, him with the big flag leading.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We need him back.
Yeah.
Just for content.
I can see why D'Amico Ryans refuses to shut the door on
it. If it happens, I don't want to know in advance, though. I want it to be one of those things where it's a wrestling-style entrance as the last man introduced.
Oh.
Glass breaks?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean, the stadium would lose its mind. It would absolutely
go crazy.
Do they
have a Sunday night game late in the season that they can do this?
I mean, that
also has to be a Sunday night game.
Christmas Day game, he's dressed up as Santa, and then you see Santa on the sideline, and then all of a sudden, like, wait, that's John Cena's music!
Rips off the Santa suit. Oh, my God!
Or you play, I guess you would play, what's the song that they played back in the 2011, 2012? Was it Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine? Yeah, that's the one that you play.
I don't think so. I think we need. Yeah, I think you need some Fort Minor. She's like,
he gets rolled in a tire.
Yeah.
Hey, November 18th, Monday night against the Cowboys.
It's in Dallas, though.
Oh, yeah. Dang it.
So the week before is Sunday Night Football versus the Detroit Lions. That's week 10.
Coming off a mini bye the week before. They play on Thursday.
I like it.
Like, Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter, J.J. Watt.
We'll play some.
On one defensive line.
We'll play some Will Anderson. Daniel Hunter's talking about Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter a little bit later in the show. We got so many deep steel blue pills for you before they play a game. hopefully they live up to this hype.
Well, that's the other, like you said it though. The Texans have to be, I think, very clearly in the playoffs.
Yes, 100%.
I think they have to secure a first round home playoff game at a minimum before he comes back.
Yes, they have to be, I think, leading the division or maybe like tied in the division for him to even entertain
more than that. Like I think you might need to be the one seed for J.J. Watt to come back.
D'Amico Ryans also, with Kay Adams, gave an answer that I love because there's nothing in the world that I hate more than this obsession that all these dorks, all these incels, all these virgins online have with the idea of who is a wide receiver one. Here is D'Amico speaking with Kay Adams about that.
Are y'all operating, though, in this offense without a number one wide receiver?
Who's number one? Whoever gets the ball, that's number one, right? I think when you have as many talented guys as we have, Tank, Nico, Steph, I mean, you have three of the top guys in the league at the position. So it's just a matter of, you know, CJ just going through his process and hitting whoever is open. That's number one.
Every single effing time that I hear somebody talk about the idea of a wide receiver one, my brain slowly dies just a little bit. I hate this obsession that we have. Fantasy football has ruined the coverage of the NFL. Guess what you do in football? You throw the ball to the open guy. Oh, you need to give a certain guy amount of touches? Yeah, if you're a loser team, and if you grew up rooting for a loser team, you're going to think about this idea of what a wide receiver one is. No, throw the ball to the guy who is open every single play. My God, wide receiver one. Shut up! I hate this. I'm so tired of it.
I think a lot of it now, Paul, is like, it seems that don't have a clear, really talented wide receiver or quarterback. Like, that's when they start to put QB one, wide receiver one. When, like, a situation like this, like, it doesn't matter.
But no one even says wide receiver one either. No one even says that. All of a sudden, we started saying QB1. No one has ever said QB1
until
the
fantasy.
Last 5 years. That never happened in a football game. No, it was because of a random episode of Friday Night Lights.
Oh.
And by the way, they stopped doing it on Friday Night Lights. This is where it goes back to. It's Peter Berg's fault, to be perfectly honest. And we got to this mode now where we're doing it with wide receivers. Who cares? Stats do not effing matter. I hate that we have gotten to this point where we're like, who's the wide receiver one? Shut up! It's such virgin talk. Win a game! I get it. You haven't all grown up watching a team win 6 Super Bowls like me. But no one is supposed to care about how many targets a wide receiver gets. Or how many catches a wide receiver gets. Or how many yards a wide receiver gets. Or how many yards anyone gets, because yards are the most irrelevant statistic in football! God, I hate it. So I'm glad that D'Amico had a polite way of answering it, but that's how I would have answered it with Kay. I would have gone on a rant, my eyes would have rolled back into my head, and I would have said, honestly, I'm taking away your title as preeminent football mind, as a strong, independent woman, because you asked about the idea of wide receiver one. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Wide receiver one, it's not a real thing, and it does not matter. It only matters to the egomaniacs who play the position, of which there are many. Guess what? It's a team effing game. Get open, and if you're open and the quarterback sees you, he will throw you the ball. Wide receiver one needs to be burnt at the stake, and then that needs to be sent into outer space, into the sun, and hopefully a black hole swallows that sun. End rant.
You really hate wide receiver one.
I just hate how everyone cares about who gets the most yards and who gets the most receptions.
No, it doesn't matter.
It does not matter. Win the game.
Yeah, and you know what's it's funny too is like a lot of times I think when you talk about this, like you would have, it's like almost like just like who's going to get the most targets, like you're saying, and that's what everyone thinks it's going to be. It doesn't matter when CJ Stroud's your quarterback. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
He's already proven it does not matter how many great wide receivers are on his roster, because look what he did in college. He played at a college in which there was 5 first-round picks on his team at one time.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who wide receiver one is. CJ Stroud has said it. Just get open. Whoever is open is going to get the ball.
If you have a great quarterback, it also doesn't matter who the wide receiver one is to that point. Like, if you're Patrick Mahomes, who's wide receiver one? Doesn't matter. See, who is Rasheed Rice? You didn't know who he was until...
Well, we know now.
Well, you know, now you really know who he is. But you didn't know who Rasheed Rice was going into the year. Oh, a second-round pick out of SMU? Sure, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll be honest. Like, I don't have
crazy.
I don't have much of a rant in there.
I just hate it.
Like, no, I think you're right though, because it's just a dumb thing that people do. It's very fantasy football. It is a very fantasy football term that's used now, and it really shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter when you have a good quarterback. Like, who's the most talented? Who's the highest paid? It's about who gets open. The only time it really, really, really matters is if you have a super diva at wide receiver. That's where I think that sometimes they push the narrative more about wide receiver one, you know, whether it's T.O. or Diggs, I think belongs in this category a little bit from what we saw in Buffalo.
Antonio Brown,
like Randy Moss a little bit as well. But even like Randy Moss had great years when he was, you know, teammates with Chris Carter.
Moss was never a diva about that. Moss was more like he just didn't like practicing. The guys that you mentioned, though, T.O., Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. and Stephon Diggs. How many Super Bowls between the three of them?
Zero.
Yep. It's all about winning.
You look at the top, I don't know, whatever list you look at, you look at the top 5 to 10 wide receivers of all time, very few of them have Super Bowls. Typically, like that elite crop of wide receivers translates to nothing. Like, besides Jerry Rice, Randy Moss has nothing, T.O. has nothing. They have appearances. You know, even in the modern day NFL, Justin Jefferson has nothing.
It's one of the reasons I always get a little bit nervous about the idea of paying a wide receiver a gargantuan contract, which I know a lot of people say you should do if a quarterback's on a rookie deal because you have the ability to do that. But if you just take a look at it, for the most part, it doesn't generally lead to success. Like, it really is still about the quarterback. And sure, that wide receiver helps the quarterback out, but it's a position that, given the amount of targets a receiver gets over the course of a game, that has become, I think, overexpensive.
Oh, big time.
But, hey, I mean, that's how it goes.
I mean, and that's why, you know, it's like when you look at the wide receiver, like, yeah, some of these guys are going to Super Bowls. A.J. Brown went to a Super Bowl. Ja'Marr Chase went to a Super Bowl. They're not winning it because at the end of the day, all that really matters is your quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, yes, they're two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but they've proven that. They've proven that you don't need to have this incredibly wide receiver one, in quotes, for you. Talented player to win a Super Bowl. It just doesn't matter. It's all about your quarterback.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, Hard Knocks Episode 1. I watched it. How do Joe George's Bears look? We'll discuss. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Hard Knocks is back.
It's back.
I watched episode 1, features the Chicago Bears, and I can see why a lot of organizations don't want to be featured on the show from the beginning.
I it's the first time I've watched in years, Paul.
Yeah, because you grew up in Chicago.
Because I'm a Bears fan. Like, I it's the only reason why I'm watching. Like, if this was not, I'm glad you guys want to talk about it, and I would talk about, if it was the Titans and we were going to talk about it, I'd watch it, but I'm just kind of over Hard Knocks. The radio station I grew up listening to, they put out a bingo card and I'm playing along with them, and I got bingo like on the first show. Cheesy showing of the bean, of the Bulls music, of the train, mentions of deep dish pizza, lots of Walter Payton mentions. It was like bingo, 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 bingo.
They didn't lean into the nostalgia as much as I thought they would, and to be perfectly honest, they should have, because, my God, I don't think very highly of this organization at all.
Slip and slide, though.
Well, let's just start off. Here's Matt Eberflus giving a speech. At the very beginning, we did this last year, right, Sean? It was the Jets with Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh had a bunch of just absolutely terrible speeches.
Yeah.
I don't understand why coaches feel the need to give these incredible speeches that they've clearly put some thought into to their players. Matt Eberflus, he is gone after this season. Lock, here it is.
Winning doesn't make you a winner.
Pause.
Losing.
Pause. I'm out.
I forgot he said that. Oh, because I watched it on Tuesday night. I forgot he started it with that.
Unbelievable.
Winning.
Fire him right there. Fire him right there. Unbelievable.
They have to just, this has to be a Hard knock speech, right? Like he was, I have to assume it's the Bears blinders. I'm going to put him on for a second here.
I'm curious.
I'm going to assume he wouldn't actually give that speech if the cameras weren't there. I might be wrong, but I feel like it's like Hard Knocks, HBO told him, hey man, we're opening this thing with a speech. Give me your best shot.
Do you want to hear the rest?
Yes.
I don't, but more Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears, for now.
Winning doesn't make you a winner.
Unbelievable.
Losing doesn't make you a loser.
Winning habits
makes you a winner. Losing habits makes you a loser. Set a goal to be 1 of 32. The best at your position. The best. Right? If it's long snapper, kicker, center, nickel, corner, linebacker, whatever it is, make a decision to do it. Look at the guys in the past that were at the best at your position, and how do they act? You guys heard of Walter Payton running up and down them hills? Right? Jerry Rice doing his thing?
Lawrence Taylor doing cocaine?
Find out what they did. You've got to take action daily.
Showing up
day
in the first quarter.
Day out. That's the grinder. Right? You guys are all grinders.
T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway?
I mean, listen, T.O. at least worked out. But, I mean,
Oh, yeah.
The greatest pass rusher of all time was notorious for basically just being able to show up. If you start off by saying, like, winning doesn't make you a winner and losing doesn't make you a loser.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That is how it works.
I thought he was going to get fired last year. I'm honestly stunned still today that he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I really did not think he was going to be the head coach this year.
Yeah, and he gets to work with Caleb Williams.
Well, this is what they do. That's why they're an awful organization. This is what they do.
It's what they did with Trubisky.
And Fields.
Oh, yeah.
They had a coach who drafted Trubisky. They fired him after a year, stuck him with Nagy. Nagy took Fields. They fired Nagy after a year, stuck him with a new coach.
Yeah. There's more to get into. We'll save some of it for another segment. But, I mean, Matt Eberflus, how can you have any faith in that guy speech?
I haven't been thrilled. It seemed a little early to pull the, hey, you know, Nick Saban used to coach me card. Here's Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Talking.
Nick Saban there. I think to myself, you know what? Let's give him another run in the NFL. Yeah, over Matt Eberflus.
Hand him a polo shirt. Get him out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in.
Matt Eberflus' wife is the reason that he has a beard now and that he does his hair the way that he does.
Happy wife, happy life.
Can't even run his own household and is expected to run the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts, because there's other clips that we'll get to. They're Caleb Williams specific. Simone Biles has ugly dogs. They're ugly. Bulldogs, disgusting creatures.
Really?
French bulldogs, also disgusting.
I think two French bulldogs. Gross. One. I mean, part of the show was that it slobbered all over Jonathan Owens' jeans.
I laughed when they started putting Jonathan Owens, and they started going to that. I lost it. Because I just knew that you guys were going to have a great reaction.
I mean, listen, we've already said.
The whole thing, like, I'm like, oh, they're actually showing this. Like,
we've already said what we need to say about the Bears letting Jonathan Owens go to the Olympics. And, hey, that's their choice. But it needs to be said, Simone Biles has ugly dogs. They're ugly, hideous beasts.
I will say, though, I was also 0.0% surprised that they had three French bulldogs or whatever.
One bulldog, which they have a portrait of. Oh, gross. And a French bulldog. I mean, just give them a chihuahua so that you can have the trifecta of the worst dogs possible.
I've never had a French bulldog, so.
I haven't either. I just think they're ugly.
I think it's fair. They're not the most.
You're going to get a dog. Get a dog that's cute.
Yeah, get it like a German Shepherd.
German Shepherds are cute.
Yep.
Pit bulls are even cute.
Yeah, they're like ugly cute.
American Bulldogs, anything that's Bulldog related, guess what? It's ugly.
Especially if you get a French one.
Hideous dog.
It's also very, I am 25 with my own place and I want a dog.
Yeah.
So let me get a small dog. Let me get a French Bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they've been like number one in America the last 2 years.
It's a shame.
Interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, not a great first episode.
No.
Didn't really enjoy it.
Too much dog time, that's for sure. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Astros back in first place after a 6-4 win over the Texas Rangers to clinch the silver boot. Also, they got a little help from the Detroit Tigers. A nice catch and 3 runs in the 9th inning. The Tigers beat the Mariners, so the Astros have a half-game lead. But what the hell's going on with Kyle Tucker? There's a bit of an update. We'll try to parse this as best we can. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.